very, very excited that you were able to download the Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast. Obviously, that's happened, and you're here, and you're listening to it, and we thank you for that. We hope you'll enjoy the Top 5 Things that we're about to present for you. My name is Dave Lavora. This is my partner, Darren Petra. Hello, Petra.
Hello, how are you? Yeah, the podcast.
I love... Oh, you're asking them, not me. I was going to say, we've been in a room together for a couple hours. You know how I'm doing.
Yeah.
You're asking the audience.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it now.
Kind of weirdo is what you are.
It's a weird question for you to ask me. How am I?
The podcast is brought to you by Nature's Treatment of Illinois. They've got two locations. One is in Tech Drive in Milan. The other one, West Main Street in Galesburg. And now they're both open 7 days a week. You can sign up for the newsletter and connect with Nature's Treatment on Twitter and Instagram.
Here's number one.
Number one.
Number one.
The Winter Olympics are over. Did we do okay? I don't know.
Norway, your big winner.
Norway. Well, I guess that makes sense, as it's always winter there, I'm assuming. Although a Finnish cross-country skier's in the news this morning. This was the 50-kilometer race on skis, a cross-country ski race. Remy Lindholm is this cat's name. Ended up finishing 28th.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what kind of medal you get for 28th. Aluminum?
You finish.
They give you a certificate of participation?
I'm finished, so I have to finish.
Remy Lindholm of Finland froze his penis during the race.
On purpose?
anything to give me an edge.
How is that an advantage?
He had to apply a heat pack to his genitals after the race because his penis was frozen. He says here, you can guess which body part was a little bit frozen when I finished. When the body part started to warm up after the finish, the pain was unbearable. Organizers were concerned about the competitors because the winds were freezing. And they ended up making the 50-kilometer race just a 30-kilometer race.
Well, how do you do that?
They had to shorten it because it was too cold, apparently.
Yeah, but that's not fair. What if you're someone who finishes strong?
Lindholm told reporters that it was one of the worst competitions I've been in. He was on the course for an hour and 16 minutes. You only wear a thin suit
well,
and underlayers along with plasters covering your face and your ears.
I'm strongest in the last 20 kilometers, man.
Right.
This is BS.
Alexander Bulshinov got the gold, followed by his teammate, Ivan Yakumushkin. Norway's Simon Helgstedt Kruger took bronze in his only Olympic event due to a lengthy isolation period following a COVID test.
I wonder if the Chinese thought it'd be a good idea to artificially manufacture winds so that they've just got big giant fans out there making it worse than it needed to be.
Yeah, it seems to me that if it's too dangerous to do 50
everything
kilometers...
Everything else was artificially made. Why not the winds?
Yeah, right. I've never heard of them saying, we'll shorten it. That's like something you do
can't
for...
Can't do that.
You do that for kids. Like,
yeah.
We were going to have the kids run a mile, but it's July. They're going to do one lap.
What do you mean you're going to shorten it?
Yeah, you're right. I'm sure there are guys who train for the last 10 kilometers is when I really pour it on.
That's where I win.
Yeah, well, you need to pour it on 30 kilometers sooner then.
Doesn't work that way.
Needed a heat pack for his penis after the race because of the frozen genitals. I
suppose maybe just like a steamed hot dog bun would work. Someone take me to the concession stand, and we'll get this junk saved.
Ah, that hits the spot.
Not too steamed.
Right? No. But the bread's got a little bit of give and take
to
it.
Yeah, a little give.
Oh, this is what I needed after skiing around for 30 kilometers.
Oh, God. In my underpants. You know what? Maybe a little mustard.
Yeah, about some Frank's Red Hot. No?
Ooh, that relish is soothing.
I've got a ketchup salve that I'm applying. Don't tell my friends in Chicago.
Two.
Got a Florida story involving a lawyer.
Florida.
According to the arrest report, Kelly Elkins, 49 years old, entered the beach lounge in St. Pete Beach at 2:15 in the morning on Friday.
Okay.
But was intoxicated to the point the manager refused to serve her. Let me tell you, I spent some time in St. Pete Beach. Do you know how intoxicated you have to be in order to not get served down there?
A lot?
Legally dead. She was refused service by the bar manager, so this woman, who is also, by the way, a lawyer, went into the restroom and then emerged unclothed and completely naked.
What do you think of this?
I know you wouldn't serve me with pants on, but what about now?
I will live out my days naked and free.
Mm-hmm. Instead of departing, Kelly Elkins walked into the restroom and then came back out of the bar unclothed and naked when Elkins refused the manager's request to put some clothes on. The cops were summoned. Upon arriving at the bar, the sheriff noted that Elkins was still naked and had to repeatedly be told to get dressed. The attorney would only put on a hoodie, which she refused to zip up.
She would only wear 3 drink umbrellas.
She claimed that she was simply too tired to put on her pants. Elkins' naked antics played out in front of several bar patrons.
Pants are for losers.
She's been charged with disorderly conduct, booked into the county jail, which she was later released on from her own recognizance. She was admitted to the Florida bar in 2001 and is also a licensed real estate broker. Who's the real estate agent here that is always wearing the football helmet in his ads? Is it Fred Harris? Is that his name? Mm. You know what I'm talking about? He's in the commercials and on the signs. He's got a football helmet.
Oh, you know what?
On.
I don't see any of those shows anymore.
No?
No. Are those shows still on?
I don't know. I haven't. You're right. I haven't seen them.
Where they start flashing all the different properties and this is the person who's going to take care of it for you?
Do you remember?
That's never on anymore, is it?
Late at night, too, they used to have the local infomercial for Dahl Ford.
Yeah.
Where the two guys would banter back and forth about the vehicles, and it would be like, this car is red, red, and ready for you.
Yeah, right. We were part of that once.
You get to be on it?
No, we did a whole show with them.
You and me?
Yes.
I have no memory of this.
Don't you remember? Yeah.
Did we do the shtick?
Yeah, we did the whole shtick.
That wasn't you and Dana. That was you and
no,
me.
No, that was the two of us.
We got to be on the...
Yeah, we did that.
The infomer? Did we do like red, 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 and ready for you? And well, all of that stuff?
I think at one point we had him tied up.
No.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I have no memory of
this. How do you not
this?
Remember that?
I don't know.
There's a DVD of it somewhere.
Really?
Yes.
I don't have that DVD.
Well, we did it.
Is this a DVD that you gave away?
Well, I don't think I gave it away. What, like at a remote?
I do remember when we were on Fox 18, when Star Wars was making its debut on television.
Yeah.
And they superimposed my head on a chicken's body.
Well, we were doing chicken jokes.
Why were we doing chicken
jokes
for Star
Wars? We were referring to you
Wars?
As a chicken for some reason. You were a chicken.
And then they put my
but
head
yeah,
on
we
a
did the
chicken
whole,
body
we did the whole
for Star Wars.
The Dahl Ford thing?
I don't remember doing that.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's something I would put on my resume if I remember doing it.
Darn tootin'.
Wow. Red, red, and ready for you. So the premise was that we kidnapped him and we took over the show?
Maybe.
I gotta reach out to some people and see if I can find that somewhere. Because That's a Quad City highlight. I don't know how I have no memory of doing that.
That might have got left behind in the old building. I
yeah,
don't know.
I guess that's
but you've right. got people.
But that would have been a long time ago, right?
Well, it was a while ago, yeah.
Gosh, I don't remember doing that. Now I kind of do.
Well, yeah,
but I don't know if
because it did happen.
Are you putting the idea in my head that it happened or
no.
did it actually happen?
No, it actually happened.
And this is a slick one owner. with all the toys.
Yeah.
This car is blue, and ready for you. Everything was, you just say the name of the color a couple times and say it's ready for you. That's not a show anymore, though.
No, that's not on either.
It seems like the only infomercials that are on local TV anymore are for either the shark vacuum cleaner or is it Dick Buckus's newspaper grill? Is that still, still a thing?
No, that was a good one, but Dick Buckus is no longer on the beach trying to
Dick Buckus
cook hamburgers.
Had this idea that you would just take newspaper and then use that.
Why does this hamburger taste like the Quad City Times?
What's with all the toxic ink in my meat?
Huh. Tastes like Bill Wundrum.
Is anybody there? Does anybody care? The Quick Cook Grill was portable, light, and compact.
Yeah, you just kind of stacked one into the other. Added some newspaper.
That's not a good idea.
And then the next thing you know, you've got cancer.
This burger tastes... Use newspaper for fuel as it cooks 5 times faster than charcoal. How much newspaper would you have to use? Because here's the thing. Newspaper,
a couple Sunday editions.
Newspaper goes up pretty quick, right?
Yeah.
The Quick Cook Grill. This was something that Dick...
causes lung cancer after one use.
Allegedly. People having fun on the beach.
Oh, yeah.
And here is number 51.
You know what I could go for? A burger.
Alright, this is just a bunch of shots of people having fun on the beach.
But they look hungry.
They do. For meat and ink.
The Great Cookout Challenge. Ordinary charcoal cooking versus the Safari Quick Cook Grill. Which will cook fastest and deliver great outdoor taste? The Quick Cook Grill comes out of the handy tote box for assembly. Look, the Quick Cook Grill uses only newspaper to cook, which is safer for the environment.
But not for your lungs.
I don't know that burning newspaper is safer for the environment.
Well, compared to the way normal people make hamburgers.
The bottom of the Quick Cook grid is covered with foil. The meat is placed on the foil. They both light up at the same time. But look, the food goes right on the Quick Cook grill to start cooking. Listen. The burgers are cooking already. Seared on one side in 4 to 5 minutes, the burgers are turned to finish cooking for great outdoor taste. Another 4 to 5 minutes and these burgers are ready to eat. And now the taste test.
Hear that cooking?
Only
that's
one is ready.
Animal flesh.
The Quick Cook Grill Burgers.
It doesn't taste like paper. It tastes like great outdoor cooking.
It doesn't taste like paper?
What? That's the first thing out of your mouth?
Are they grilling newspaper? Wow, this meat doesn't taste like paper. It tastes like great outdoor cooking.
It looks like paper mache.
To wait for the taste test on the ordinary charcoal cooker. Now for cleanup. The Quick Cook Grill nests inside itself. Just empty a few ashes in the foil. Put it back in the handy tote box.
Just empty the ashes into the ocean.
Make sure you put that hot grill back into the cardboard box.
That won't be a problem.
Meanwhile, the burgers are just now going on the other cooker, and you know what the cleanup will be. Quick Cook Grill pays for itself in just one cookout season.
How?
The cleanup on a normal grill, well, you know how it is, a living hell.
How does the Quick Cook Grill pay for itself?
If you have to clean up on a real normal gas grill,
charcoal.
It is hell on earth.
No more charcoal. No more hazardous lighter fluid. Just your morning newspaper.
Well, I could get a Quick Cook Grill free with the money I'd save on charcoal and lighter fluid.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
All that money you're throwing away on charcoal and lighter fluid. You could get a Quick Cook Grill for free.
Quick Cook Grill breaks down and nests within itself. It fits in a handy tote box to take wherever you go.
Tote box? It's a cardboard box with a handle on it.
So if you love the terrific taste of outdoor grilling without all the hassle, if you want to save time, save money, and help the environment, then stay tuned for a closer look at the next outdoor grilling revolution, the Quick Cook Grill.
So when does Dick Butkus get involved in this?
All the money I saved. I could invest in a .com venture.
I'm going to take all the money I save and put it into... Oh, no.
Showing you today is going to revolutionize the way we do outdoor grilling in this country.
Narrator, it didn't. None of this has really worked. Here's some more bikini-clad models talking about the delicious meat.
Right.
Now, is that tasty or what?
Mm. You are the pro.
Wonderful.
Mike, were you skeptical before you actually used the grill?
Yeah, somewhat I was. I wanted to actually see it work.
Okay.
No lighter fluid. No charcoal.
They're doing this, it looks like at Oak Street Beach in Chicago, because the soldier's field is right behind them. I tell you what, I was a little skeptical putting the Sun Times in there.
But with the money I saved, I invested in WorldCom.
I hear this Enron's taking off. This burger tastes like Royco.
Okay.
Cheap.
To tell you the truth, I was a little bit hesitant, but I was thinking maybe too good to be true, only in TV land type of thing. But after I used a quick cook grill, I actually realized that it really does what it's supposed to do, and it is what it is, what it says.
It is what it is.
Too good to be true, just like MySpace.
When did Dick Butkus get involved in this? Wow, that's rough. Because didn't he put his name on it at one point?
Well, he was in the commercials.
He shows up at some point. All right, just to tell everybody that this is the way to cook. Don't be a dummy and use charcoal and a Weber grill. How did that end up working out? Oh, well, the grill is, it's not too good to be true. I thought it was just on TV land that this would work.
I wish Brian Piccolo was here to enjoy this burger. This burger brings a tear to my eye, not unlike Brian's song.
And now the newspapers are ashes, just like Brian. there's no question about it. I thought that these, OB, I thought there's no question about it. I thought that these, this newspaper girl, I thought too good to be true, you know. And, yeah, there's no question about it.
That's right. Get Doug involved.
Revolutionizing the grill.
Number three.
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 This one fascinates me. It's a murder that was inspired by a television show. And I'm going to put 30 seconds on the clock, and I want everyone to think about this. What TV show do you think inspired someone to murder somebody? Think of TV shows that have been on the air in the last, 20 years. It's a big TV show.
Murder,
this
She
thing
Wrote.
Was a hit. Okay, that's a good guess. I would go with that. Really, any of the like Law and Orders I could see maybe inspiring somebody, something with an actual murder. The answer is, this is a story out of Australia. The answer is inspired to do it by Frasier.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged.
That song makes me want to murder.
Oh, you're so precious, Frasier Crane.
An Australian woman knocked out her wealthy boyfriend with a sedative-infused milkshake before gassing him with helium pumped into a plastic bag over his head.
Boy.
I don't remember that thing.
That was an episode of Frasier?
Niles, will you help me with this? Natasha Beth Darcy, sentenced to 40 years in prison, found guilty of the 2017 murder of her partner, Matthew Dunbar, she tried to make it look like a suicide And she says she was inspired by an episode of Frasier. She came up with a plan to cover up the murder, offered a friend $14,000 in cash to say that her rich boyfriend had been talking about suicide. That backfired when the friend turned the letter that she wrote making the offer over to the authorities.
Mm-hmm.
Darcy writes to a friend in 2020 using a letter that was used in her sentencing hearing, quote, "I was watching an episode of Frasier when Niles needed him to lie in court and say he didn't know that Niles was in love with Daphne. It got me thinking, if only I could ask somebody to say that Matthew told them he was planning his suicide maybe a few or several days before he passed."
I know.
That took a turn. This Frasier gives me an idea.
Yeah, that's quite an extrapolation there.
The sentencing judge telling Julia Lornigan is the name of the sentencing judge down there. She's telling Natasha Darcy that the earliest she can get out on parole is 2047 for a crime the judge called, her words here, stupid, clumsy, and ugly. Thanks, Judge. Gosh,
there's a lot of badness in the world today. I see it in court every day. I've sentenced boys younger than you to the gas chamber. Didn't want to do it. Felt I owed it to them.
The judge who sentenced her ruled that the murder was devised so that she could inherit her boyfriend's $2.4 million villa after she had coerced him into revising his will. The judge also reminded Darcy that her sentence reflected her life as a serial domestic abuser who had tried unsuccessfully to kill her previous husband.
And she always wanted to be a banker.
Quote, "I cannot find that the offender is a person of good character given her criminal record, which included sentences of imprisonment for hitting her husband on the head with a hammer whilst he slept and setting fire to their house with the admitted aim of obtaining the insurance money, larceny, and multiple counts of dishonesty, obtained property by deception involving the unauthorized use of a credit card of another man with whom the offender was in a domestic relationship." Wow. This woman was on probation for the hammer and arson crimes when she met the boyfriend that she ended up killing online in 2014. She also had a peculiar internet search history, which the prosecutor was more than happy to share during the trial, looking up things such as spider venom, poisonous mushrooms, stabbed in the brain.
Let me Google stabbed in the brain.
Let me look.
What? How would that work? Let me take a look.
She also...
quick little Google here.
Stabbed. How many bees in stabbed? Stabbed in the brain. She also looked up suicide poem and how to commit murder.
Suicide poem? That'd be a nice touch.
Wait a minute. Did you copy and paste this suicide poem? Why is your boyfriend talking about stuff that has nothing to do with him? This is from the Bell Jar. I recognize this. This isn't his work. She also Googled, if police have your cell phone, can they see websites? And she searched, quote, after suicide, is house a crime scene? And she looked up, how long do internet providers keep history? Well, it turns out long enough to send you to prison. The judge said that Darcy's premeditation was chilling. She's never, by the way, admitted to murdering her boyfriend. Claimed that he suffered from depression, that he was always threatening to kill himself because he was a closeted homosexual.
Oh, that old chestnut.
Her lawyer says, look, my client's actions were suspicious, but they can't be proven without a reasonable doubt. The conviction was upheld by Australia's highest court, and now, yeah, she'll be sitting in jail there until the year 2047 at least.
Ooh.
For a murder she committed, inspired, according to her, by the sitcom Frasier.
Bit of a stretch, though.
did she tell the boyfriend she was on probation for trying to hammer and burn her husband alive?
That would be good information to have.
That's something you got to tell somebody, yeah, right?
You got to put that in your Tinder profile.
She'd still get swipes, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
I like to Google suicide poems. Not for me, just for reasons. I'm fine. Everything's fine with me.
I love all art forms.
Including suicide poems and stabbing the brain and poisonous mushrooms. Wow. The search history is something else.
Extensive.
Googling how to commit murder seems, I don't know. Mm. That's just lazy. Seems like she doesn't have an original idea in her head.
Follow your instincts.
Just taking stuff from Frasier.
Number four.
This abandoned cargo ship in the middle of the Atlantic continues to fascinate me. I guess I didn't realize just how many cars were on board this thing. We told you about this last week, that there was this cargo ship that was on its way to, I think, Delaware, and it had a bunch of Porsches on it.
Uh-huh.
And the people that were waiting for the Porsches were very upset that their cars were in the middle of the Atlantic on fire. Everyone that was on board the cargo ship was rescued safely when the thing caught on fire. It's still very much on fire. What I guess I didn't realize last week, and maybe this information wasn't made available to me, it's 4,000 brand new cars that are on this thing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. 4,000 brand new cars are still on fire in the middle of the Atlantic. And there's no one there to put out the fire. So these things are just catching fire one at a time. And eventually the whole thing will go up in smoke and end up at the bottom of the ocean. The ship driving the cars is the Felicity Ace. It left Germany on February 10th. It was supposed to land in, what did I say, Delaware? Rhode Island is where it was supposed to land.
Okay.
On board the ship, 4,000 cars that had rolled off the production line at Volkswagen Auto Group. Regular Volkswagens, but also Bentleys, Porsches, and Audis.
Wow.
4,000 vehicles. Going to the bottom of the briny deep. By February 16th, a week before it was going to arrive here in the States, the ship had reached the Azores Islands, which is 900 miles off the coast of Portugal. And then they sent out an SOS. The crew did its best to put the fire out, but their efforts were to no avail. 22 members of the crew climbed on board a lifeboat and left the ship. I bet that's an interesting feeling. Mm. Getting in a lifeboat with 21 other dudes and just watching a cargo ship go up in flame. Cause of the fire is unknown. It's not like you can get on the ship to start doing some arson investigating, right? I mean, who knows?
It was Dick Buckus's hamburger grill.
Well, now that makes all the sense in the world. There were some electric vehicles. And some are speculating that the lithium ion batteries, you know, those things could have gone up. You can't put out a burning lithium ion battery. If a lithium ion battery is on fire, you don't put water on it. That's the last thing you want to do. Well, it might become again an artificial reef. 650-foot-long ship built in 2005. It's regularly carried both luxury and regular cars across the Atlantic.
Got a serious scratch and dent sale coming up in Rhode Island here soon.
Yeah, somebody gives you a real hell of a deal on a Volkswagen in a couple of months. Ask some questions.
Price to move.
This car is submerged and ready for you. Meanwhile, in Hawaii, and another ocean, we had to scramble fighter jets to intercept a white orb that was hovering over Hawaii. Did you hear about this?
Mm.
Multiple stealth fighter jets were seen intercepting a white orb UFO that was flying over Hawaii a couple of days ago. Witnesses noticed a peculiar object hovering over the island of Oahu. According to UFO sightings daily, F-22 jets were caught responding to a series of reports which said the object was stationary for a period of time. Just this white orb hovering over Hawaii, then they had to scramble jets. Now, I think the military story is that it was a balloon. It was an unarmed balloon. There were people, though, saying that they heard a bunch of loud booms, like they shot the thing down. An object seen over Hawaii last Monday appeared to be an unarmed balloon with no identification markings. And these jets were scrambling to deal with it. People reported hearing loud booms, which had them speculate that the military shot this thing down. Military officials say they did not fire on the object. And they are continuing to track the orb. Big white balloon floating over Hawaii? Who could be responsible for that? I'll answer my own question.
You guys said that we did this for the show.
Oh, God, Falcon.
Back at it. Up to your old tricks, are you? Richard Haney, science detective?
Number five.
Having a 6-foot-long West African banded cobra for a pet seemed like a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to go see him?
It's a highly venomous snake, and it was being kept in a homemade cage by her owner before she escaped last summer. It's a very elaborate tale. A 6-foot-long highly venomous cobra kept in a homemade cage. The cage was made out of wood and sliding plexiglass. There were no locks, according to the cops. The female snake was in a cage with a West African male banded cobra when it decided to leave on August the 3rd. This is down in Grand Prairie, Texas. Lawrence Thomas Maddell III arrested without incident as a result of this snake getting out.
Guess how Grandpa and Dad passed away?
I'm number three for a reason. This guy is looking at a misdemeanor charge of release from captivity. According to the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department, that is a violation. They still don't know where this thing is. It left on August 3rd. They still haven't found it. He bought the pair of cobras, he told the cops, about 2 weeks before they escaped. And he had them in the homemade enclosure without locks on it. He told authorities he had just fed the cobras when he left the room for 15 minutes. And when he returned, the female cobra was gone. Yeah, they'll do that. He told the Grand Prairie, Texas police he noticed the plexiglass on the cage was open about an inch. But he told authorities he knows he closed it. He told authorities that these snakes are smart. And he had a snake escape before, but he found it minutes earlier. In addition to the two cobras, this guy also had a pit viper in his residence for some reason. Authorities removed the snakes from his home because in Grand Prairie, Texas, there's a city ordinance that does not allow residents to own wildlife in the city.
I find that hard to believe.
that there's a law on the books in Texas that makes any sense? Yeah, that's...
I don't know.
The state charge against Maddell states that a person may not intentionally, recklessly, or with criminal negligence release or allow the release from a captivity of a venomous snake. Did I do that? Sorry.
Well, no harm, no foul, I guess. Well, let's just turn the page and hope for the best.
Except that, you know, there's a venomous snake out there.
Yeah. Friday Night Lights. I don't know.
This happened in August. So the hope is that somehow the cold killed it? I'm hoping...
Game night. Big crowd tonight.
The stars at night are big and bright. There's venomous snakes in Texas. I'm also troubled by the fact that it's described here as a highly venomous snake.
Yeah, the venom's very concentrated.
Oh, no. It has not been located. The snake is still very much on the loose.
There is a snake that could be at the gate.
An expert on wildlife removal telling the police in Grand Prairie, Texas, that a homemade cage was not sufficient for such a highly venomous
snake.
Well,
trying to find a professionally made one is not as easy as you think.
I tell you what, man, you think I can find a venomous snake cage that'll...
Listen, I Googled. I did some legwork. I did my research.
You know what they want for a professional cage? You know how much money they want for a professional cage? What am I made out of, money? Good God. Made it myself with some plexiglass and some wood.
Just turned a crib into a little plexiglass, a crib.
The escaped cobra was kept in a container with no locks for 13 hours. The Fort Worth Star-Telegram obtaining arrest documents showing that the 6-foot-long snake was kept in a homemade container without any locks. The sliding door was open for an inch. But that don't make no sense. I know that I closed that gate. I know that I closed it, but them snakes is tricky. Them 6-foot cobras is tricky. Sometimes they do a hypnotizing on you. You know, they say, look at me, and they shake their tail. Next thing you know, you're all hypnotized by them. Well, I mean, if you're in North Texas, keep an eye out for a 6-foot-long snake. Someone, by the way, has given this snake its own Twitter profile.
Okay.
Someone is tweeting as the Grand, it's at Cobra Grand, the Grand Prairie Cobra.
Favorite song, Saga. On the loose.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That's it for Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast. We're so glad that you listened to it and downloaded it. You, I hope, are subscribing to it.
That'd be nice.
And tell your friends that they should enjoy it, too. Your friends are always asking, anybody got any suggestions for a podcast? You know, maybe throw us out there.
Right over here.
Podcast brought to us, as always, by Nature's Treatment of Illinois.
Yeah, their goal is to fully understand their clients' needs physically, mentally, and emotionally because they know it's not easy to live with a chronic illness. Their experienced wellness consultants will sit down with you and discuss what options are going to work best to make you feel more comfortable. Frequently asked questions are answered on the website, and that is ntillinois.com.
Until we get a chance to do it for you again, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe. Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop.
East Moline,
yeah, they keeping it hot.
Peace out.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.